From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The spectacular fall of Michael Madigan continued last week as the former Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives and Democratic power broker was sentenced to more than 7 years in federal prison. As recounted by WGN News reporter Courtney Spinelli, the judge had a harsh assessment of Madigan, who maintains his innocence and took the stand as part of his corruption trial earlier this year.
Quote, "You lied. You did not have to. You had a right to sit there and exercise your right to silence, but you took that stand and you took the law into your own hands."
Meanwhile, there are questions about what happens next in the trial of a state senator that ended with a hung jury. And another jury found a former January 6th defendant guilty of reckless homicide in a car crash from back in 2022. John Seidel has covered all this and more as federal courts reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. He joins us now to talk about what's been happening. John, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Glad to be here.
Listeners, if you have questions about what's happened in these cases or thoughts on the sentencing of Madigan, you can join the conversation. But don't wait. We're only on this for the next 15 minutes or so. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, John, let's start with Madigan. 7.5 years in prison, $2.5 million fine. We last spoke on this show the week Madigan was cross-examined by prosecutors. There was a lot of talk about how much of a gamble that was for him. How did that turn out in retrospect?
Well, not very well, it seems. You know, I pointed out after the sentencing in my report last week that, we don't really know what kind of sentence Madigan would have received had he not gotten onto the stand and lied, as Judge Blakey plainly said. Even if he had been convicted of more counts, you've got to wonder what the judge would have done had it not been for that. I mean, this was clearly the big aggravating factor for Judge Blakey. You heard the quote from Courtney Spinelli. She's quoting the judge accurately. He also said it was just a nauseating display. The judge said it was nauseating to watch Michael Madigan get on the stand and lie during his trial. And he said all that. He looked directly at Madigan as he was assessing the former speaker's testimony. And you got to think that a good portion of that 7.5 year sentence Madigan received was because of his perjury.
Can you briefly remind us what exactly he lied about?
Yeah, I mean, the judge pointed out several examples, but among them was, first of all, the way that Madigan distanced himself from Michael McClain, who you might recall is a former lawmaker who spent a long time as a consultant and lobbyist for ComEd. He was also a longtime friend of Michael Madigan's, came to be known as Madigan's messenger in Springfield. And multiple juries at the Dirksen Federal Courthouse have heard about this relationship between the two men. Madigan kind of tried to distance himself from McClain. Judge Blakey felt that that was false testimony. The judge also pointed to a scheme that Madigan was convicted for involving former Chicago Alderman Danny Solis. Madigan, in exchange for recommending Solis for a paid seat on a government board, Madigan asked Solis to help him land business for his private law firm. Madigan testified that he was just contemplating that recommendation. That was his word, contemplating the recommendation. Judge Blakey said that was a lie. And the judge also said that Madigan lied when he tried to distance himself from the other part of the conviction, which is the broad bribery scheme involving ComEd, where ComEd paid Madigan's allies to win Madigan's favor.
Your Twitter feed last Friday, and thank you for doing that, basically wore out the archy, refreshing it during the sentencing hearing. One of the more dramatic moments, I thought, came when the judge asked Madigan's lawyer whether he was taking any responsibility or showing remorse. Those are my words, but take me through that moment.
Well, and there were a couple of those moments. You might be referring to when Madigan attorney Laura Dierks was discussing the potential perjury or obstruction of justice. And at this point, I don't think we'd really heard from the judge how he felt about that issue, but he pressed her on whether or not Madigan was insisting upon his innocence. And
because this sometimes comes into play during sentencing, right? If you accept responsibility and apologize and that sort of thing.
Sure. I mean, in theory, you know, you can get credit for your sense. It's what they call a mitigating factor. It works in your favor if you accept responsibility for your crimes. And I remember watching Miss Dirks. She, when pressed by the judge, she looked back toward the defense table where Madigan and her co-counsel were sitting, and I saw defense attorney Dan Collins nod, and she says, "Yes, he does insist upon his innocence." I mean, surely there are appeals coming, and we can talk about that. But Judge Blakey made note of that during the sentencing hearing, that Michael Madigan is not saying he did anything wrong. He said, "I'm not perfect," when he spoke to the judge, but he's not admitting to his crimes.
Yeah. And, that I guess that fits with what I've seen of his character over the years. He's not a man to sort of publicly change position. What happens next? You alluded to appeals that may be coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly no surprise that they may be appealing, but Mr. Collins, the defense attorney I mentioned, he did tell the judge that they will be asking for bond, basically for Madigan to be allowed to stay out of prison while he appeals his sentence. And we're going to be watching very closely to see what happens here. I believe that request will first go to Judge Blakey. If Judge Blakey denies it, I believe they'll get a chance to make the same request to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And that'll be crucial. I mean, if either Judge Blakey or the judges on the appellate court can be convinced there's kind of like a close call issue here in the appeal, then it could be possible that Madigan stays free while he appeals this, at which, the appeal could take years. I mean, this is a pretty big, like, I don't know if it's quite last ditch, but it's, we'll see if Madigan can convince one of these judges that he's got a real appellate issue here for which he should stay free. If not, his due date at the Federal Bureau of Prisons is October 13th.
I won't ask you to make any predictions about that, but maybe we can look to the past because I recall some former, or I should say previous Illinois politicians who have been sentenced to federal prison and said they were going to appeal, making that request to stay out pending the appeal and being turned down. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Blagojevich and Ryan, I think, both made that case.
I believe they probably did, and others as well. As I sit here, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head who successfully made that request. You're right, that's something that we've seen, and usually we see it turned down. So I wouldn't expect that, but I think that's what we're watching for
Yeah.
next.
Yeah. And every case is different, to be sure.
Yes.
The other wild card here, you had a story on this last week before the sentencing, even. What are the chances Madigan makes an appeal for clemency to President Trump, who has made it clear he is not a big fan of public corruption prosecutions, in a bipartisan way, surprisingly sometimes, right? Former Governor Rod Blagojevich, a contestant on Trump's game show at one point, and so many other federal convicts have made appeals to him for at least clemency, if not outright pardons.
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of people are wondering about it, and that's why my colleague Dave McKinney and I tried to take this on ahead of the sentencing, because you got to wonder if they're going to be looking to President Trump. I mean, Michael Madigan could be, if he has to serve this sentence, he's going to be right up against his 90th birthday, but before he gets out of prison. So, I mean, this is really crucial. I asked one of Madigan's defense attorneys, point blank, they wouldn't comment on whether or not they are or are not seeking clemency or trying to do this. But you just got to wonder. You're right. President Trump pardoned former Governor Rod Blagojevich earlier this year. Rod Blagojevich tells us that he didn't actually seek out that pardon, that President Trump just did it. And we had another surprising clemency move when it came to the commutation of the Gangster Disciples co-founder Larry Hoover. And the people that we talked to believe that if there is something in it for Trump, it's totally believable that Trump would do this. And you're right. I mean, they also stress there's really no party politics here. I mean, obviously, Madigan was the leader of the Democratic Party in Illinois for years. But what we're told is that's not necessarily a deal breaker.
Fascinating. All right, this is the 21st show. We are talking about developments in recent weeks in federal courts in Illinois, from the sentencing of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan to other cases that are happening in the federal courts, where John Seidel covers it for the Chicago Sun-Times. Let's talk about another corruption case briefly. Chicago State Senator Emile Jones III. His first trial on bribery charges ended in a hung jury. Federal prosecutors say they're going to try him again. What could make this trial different than the first time around?
Well, mostly the prosecutors say that they're going to possibly bring in some additional witnesses this time around. And that just makes sense that both sides are going to adjust here, right? I mean, the government, obviously didn't make their case. They're going to be learning from what happened, whatever kind of commentary they may or may not have gotten from the jurors, which probably isn't much on the merits, actually. But they've also seen the defense. They saw Senator Jones testify. So they're going to adjust. And the defense is probably going to do the same thing. They've seen the government's case. So I don't think it's going to be a complete rerun whenever we do get to a new trial. And we could be getting a new trial date by the end of this week.
One other corruption case is the so-called ComEd 4. It's been 2 years since a jury found them guilty. We don't have to rehash the entire case because it's pretty complicated, but what took so long to get to the sentencing, which is supposed to finally start next month?
Well, the Supreme Court, basically. There was another corruption case in Northwest Indiana involving a former mayor of Portage, Indiana. Who appealed his case based on a bribery law, same bribery law that's in play in the ComEd case. That went all the way up to the Supreme Court last year. In fact, I think it was probably right around this time a year ago that we were watching for the Supreme Court to hand down its decision, and it did limit prosecutors' use of that law. So sentencings were put on hold to see how that was handled. Judge Shaw in Chicago actually wound up tossing several counts from the ComEd case because of that Supreme Court decision. Then there's President Trump, who ordered a review of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which you wouldn't necessarily think would be involved in the ComEd case, but it was. And so there was another review that went on there. But at this time, kind of everything's been cleared away. The bribery questions have been dealt with, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, that's all been dealt with. And you're right. So now we're going to start seeing sentencings of some of these same players who were involved in the ComEd. This is the same ComEd conspiracy for which Madigan was convicted on. And it's interesting, Madigan was just convicted in February. He's already been sentenced. This group was convicted in May of 2023, and we're just getting to their sentencings now.
As the time ticks down on our time together, I do want to circle back to a case you reported on in April. This is someone named Shane Jason Woods. He was convicted for his role in the January 6th riot or insurrection, however you want to say that. President Trump, of course, pardoned nearly everyone in connection with that. But he was back in court earlier this year over the death of Lauren Wegner, who was killed after Woods drove his car the wrong way on Interstate 55. How did January 6th factor into that case?
You know, it was not irrelevant at all. In fact, Shane Jason Woods wound up taking the stand during this murder trial down in Sangamon County, and he explained to the jury there that when he was arrested for his role in January 6th, he assaulted a police officer during the Capitol riot as well as a news cameraman. He said that he was just hit with instant depression. He felt like millions of people hated him because he had become national news. And he struggled with this depression. And he actually testified that he tried to take his life a few times. I think there was one time he had a gun and he called his friend and he just didn't want to be alone when he died, and his friend got the gun away from him. And there was another time he tried to hang himself and his girlfriend cut the rope. And finally, I believe it was in November of 2022, he got in a fight with his girlfriend, wound up speeding along the highway, I-55 near Springfield. He was pulled over. He told a police officer he was going to kill himself, and he drove away from a traffic stop, drove north into the southbound lanes of I-55. I believe it was just south of Lake Springfield. And he said that he meant to drive into a semi truck. He felt that he would be killed in that crash, but the semi truck driver would survive because big truck beats little truck. And instead, he wound up plowing into a smaller car being driven by Lauren Wegner of Skokie. He said they both swerved in the same direction, and Miss Wegner was, I think, pretty much killed instantly.
What a terrible case. What
Was,
was
yeah.
the yeah, what was the outcome of his second trial there?
Yeah, he was convicted of reckless homicide. The jury did go along with his attorney's arguments. They rejected the murder charge that had been filed against him, but they did find him guilty of reckless homicide. And so now he's facing a significant sentence, not as much as if he had been convicted of murder, but he will be facing significant time in prison now over the death of Ms. Wagner.
Wow. Last thing I want to ask you about, just about 30 seconds left. R. Kelly, the Chicago soul singer, convicted years ago on racketeering and sex trafficking charges. He's trying to get out of prison. On what grounds?
Mr. Kelly claims that his life is in danger in prison. His attorneys have kind of laid out this very surprising allegation that prison officials enlisted a member of the Aryan Brotherhood to kill him in prison to prevent the release of damaging information. Federal prosecutors have called this deeply unserious, repugnant. And at one point, they even insisted that the judge should not let her docket turn into a checkout aisle tabloid issue. So we have some actual legal issues to deal with over whether or not the judge in Chicago even has jurisdiction over this, because R. Kelly is being held in a prison in North Carolina. Huh. But this is the issue. It's made a lot of headlines. He says his life is in danger. We're expecting a hearing on Friday on that.
All right. John Seidel, federal courts reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Thanks again for your coverage. Thanks for being with us today.
Glad to do it. Take care.
More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show.